This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and we got time. We got time to take your calls, 877-726-TALK, on subjects related to health and nutrition. And we'll get to calls in just a moment. Let me introduce this story. Very bizarre happenings in the American Embassy in Havana, Cuba. This week, U.S. officials who spoke to the Washington Post on the condition of anonymity revealed that in the fall of 2016, at least five U.S. diplomats began experiencing inexplicable hearing loss and other physical symptoms while serving at the embassy in Havana. It was mysterious because they didn't hear any sounds, but the problems were so severe that they had to be shipped home to the U.S. for medical treatment. One U.S. diplomat will even need to use a hearing aid as a result of their injuries. What's up with that? We'll take a deep dive on that story in just a moment. But first, let's take a call from Dave in New York. How you doing, Dave?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you so much for being there for us.
My pleasure. So,
41 years ago, I had testicle cancer, which was all encapsulated, but at that time they gave me a quarter dose of X-ray radiation as a precaution for 3 months.
It's a young man's cancer. It's very common in athletes, baseball players for some reason, lots of testicular cancer. And of course, Lance Armstrong suffered from testicular cancer. Okay, so take us back, take us up to the present.
Okay, so in May of this year, prior to May, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I was advised on the different treatment not to take X-ray radiation for a week because I had radiation before, and they gave me the frozen liquid nitrogen to kill all the prostate.
The freezing
kill the cancer there. So I haven't been tested yet. I have to take a PSA to check that. But my question now is, I have three doctors that I've been going to. One, I got a new hip last year. One is a back doctor, and the dentist. They all want to take a lot of X-rays, you know, a whole bunch.
Your entire social life is now going to doctors.
Yes, I'm 73, so I'm getting older. All right. So would those amount of X-rays also, should I be extra cautioned that I shouldn't take too many X-rays because of my background? I called one of my doctors. They didn't get back to me on Friday.
Yeah. So. Well, here's the deal. We do know that the cumulative amount of radiation that you get in your lifetime adds up to a somewhat higher risk of cancer. It's not like, you know, triple the risk or, you know, quadruple the risk. It's just a probably double-digit percentage of risk. And it's equivalent to the risk that frequent flyers and airline personnel experience because they're traveling high in the atmosphere above the protective atmosphere that filters out cosmic rays. So that there may be, you know, risks inherent in that kind of chronic exposure. And who knows, maybe they're also exposed to high-intensity electronic equipment up there, too. So, okay, so coming back to your predicament, you had radiation for testicular cancer way in the past.
Right.
And now they're looking at some potential problems for you. Yes, you should minimize your exposure, but at the same time, you need to get some of these problems diagnosed. And you know, what applies to you applies to virtually every medical consumer out there, is that you should ask specifically, is there another way to ascertain this information, number one?
Right.
What's the lowest intensity radiation study that will do it? So, for example, they may say, well, we need to do a CAT scan. I say, well, maybe you could just do an X-ray. That has about, you know, 1/10 or 1/20 the radiation of a CAT scan. And also, you should ask this important question, is what difference will it make? You know, is the outcome of the test going to be decisive in terms of a course of action? Or are we just kind of like checking things out? And that sometimes that actually it doesn't make a material difference whether you see a problem or not. And you really have to as an informed consumer, ask some crucial questions. Now, that being said, if you've got something suspicious going on and you need to have your hip looked at, or you need to have your, you need an abdominal CAT scan because they suspect something going on in there, I mean, it's not going to make a heck of a lot of difference. You've already had significant radiation exposure, and the additional radiation exposure may be somewhat inconsequential. You know, you've already had a lot. So the question is, you know, how much of a difference is it going to make? You know, one additional CAT scan, a couple of X-rays, probably not a lot of difference. Probably not a lot of difference. And maybe the risk-benefit equation tilts towards discovering something rather than preventing this possibly trivial additional radiation exposure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I assume that, you know, all the doctors, I mean, that's their methodology, and they want the X-rays to prove this, that, or the next thing. And
so,
I had a new hip done last August, and I'm walking fine. I'm playing tennis two, three times a week. So I personally don't see a reason for the X-ray, but the doctor wants it to protect himself.
Let me tell you, let me give you a personal anecdote. I broke my hip in a bicycle accident a few years ago.
About
10 years ago. Yeah, and I was talking about it on the radio, so people kind of followed my progress to this.
Sure.
And, of course, I needed, you know, an X-ray to diagnose it to begin with. And the doctor wanted to do a series of X-rays to make sure it was healing. And towards the end of it, he said, I want to do one final X-ray to make sure everything's okay. And I said, no. And he said, well, don't you want to see if everything's okay? I said, I feel fine. I'm exercising again, and I want to minimize my exposure. And he seemed disappointed. But I have a feeling part of what he wanted to do is, A, it was kind of defensive medicine. He wanted to make sure, doubly, triply sure, you know, check that everything was okay. But also, I have a feeling that he wanted to present the results in some kind of medical exercise, showing the sequence of recovery steps. And, yes, I want to contribute to medical education, but I also was fine. So I said no, and I'm none the worse for having refused. Now, if I'd been in suffering from significant pain and we wanted to find something out, I would have said, go, check it out. Maybe I'm not healing properly. But there's an example of an intelligent medicine refusal to do something that, you know, really wasn't going to make a difference in the long run. All right. So there you have it. Thanks very much for your call. And, what in the heck is going on in Cuba? This is an amazing story because, and this is coming precisely at a time where we're reevaluating our relationship with Cuba after a great opening up during the Obama administration. This may be a pretext for scaling back on diplomatic relations with the Cubans because something happened to these U.S. diplomats. And was it intentional or was it accidental? Was it were these high-intensity sound waves directed at them in a malicious way, or was it simply an information-gathering exercise that went awry? They use devices sometimes that are directed at windows, for example, that will sense the vibrations of the windows, the sonic vibrations, as a means of eavesdropping on conversations that are held inside. That's one of the ways that high-intensity sound waves are utilized, and maybe, just maybe, that was how this happened. But there are actually weapons that have been developed that are designed to hurt or neutralize people with sound. And among them there was, you know, it sounds like something out of James Bond, but the idea of using sound as a weapon has a long history. Studies show that animals exposed to high-intensity focused ultrasound can experience lung and brain damage. They used such a device to repel pirates in the pirate-infested waters off the Somali coast. It was a military-grade sonic weapon, and in one instance, it was actually effective in deterring pirates who were about to board a commercial ship. And it can be deployed at long distances, up to a kilometer, or up to a third of a kilometer. There's also a magnetic acoustic device that deploys incredibly painful focus beams of sound to deter people from an area. The Israeli army has used a device called the Scream, which damages the inner ear, causing nausea and dizziness as a means of crowd control, to spare the need for rubber bullets or actual bullets. So these sound waves can actually make you sick and damage critical structures within the body and are very high energy. And it's really a mystery as to what happened there. But fascinating story that may never come to light because of government secrecy. But something happened, and it ain't exactly clear what. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-TALK is our number. You know, the three ways to get questions to us. One is to call us during this very program. 877-726-TALK is our number from noon to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. That's Eastern Time. And another way to get questions to us is via radio program at AOL.com. That's an email address where you can send your question. Your questions will become subject matter for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions sent via email, radio program at AOL.com. And a third way is to record a question at our website at drhoffman.com on a PC or Mac. If you go to our homepage, you'll see a box on the right side, and you click on the box, and the box will prompt you to record a question that we'll then use for a future broadcast. So a lot of ways to get health and nutrition questions to us, as Stanley is about to do. Hi, Stanley.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks for all you do. I'm 73, on the thin side, and tend to be a bit hyper, and I had a thyroid panel done. The TSH was 5.78, the T3 was 2.10, and T4 was 0.84. I'm wondering, do you think I should, are there nutritional approaches, or would it be necessary for me to take, you know, Synthroid or a natural thyroxin supplement?
Well, how do you feel, Stanley? First of all, do you feel well? Do you have good energy? Are you intolerant to cold?
Know.
You feel pretty good. Okay, so what this illustrates the lack of correspondence of thyroid test results to the actual clinical situation. And usually, doctors err on the opposite side. Patients who are depressed, tired, overweight, lethargic, cold all the time, with dry skin, with hair thinning, poor nail quality, these patients may have normal thyroid function, In other words, their TSH is within the normal limits. Yours is a little high at 5. You know, borderline is maybe 3 or 4. TSH high means low thyroid. And T3 is a little low. Clinically, you're not suffering from any of those things. Plus, in an older patient, the decision to undertake thyroid therapy with medication is consequential because the heart may be more vulnerable to cardiac arrhythmias, and especially when you use natural thyroid. Synthroid, in this case, is a little on the safer side in terms of replacement in older patients, and that's why one of the reasons why Medicare does not cover the use of natural thyroid for patients over 65. I think, in my opinion, it's a mistake, because many of our older patients in their 60s and 70s and even beyond do well on safe, correctly monitored doses of Armour thyroid or natural thyroid. So in your case, you know, if you were my patient, from what I can hear, and this is just a brief snapshot, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that we need to treat the numbers. We might follow those numbers and also listen to your symptoms, and if there's progressive deterioration of your thyroid function, we might act. Is there something that could be done nutritionally to support thyroid? Yes, sometimes a little bit of iodine or a little bit of selenium can help to improve thyroid function. I'm not a big fan of the naturopathic approach to thyroid problems, since thyroid medication, I think, is an efficient and powerful solution to thyroid problems. I think to some extent you can support thyroid function with certain nutrients, but with the availability of medication, if you really think your thyroid is deficient, you know, you should be prescribed a little bit of medication. But I think in this case, I would be conservative in managing this situation.
And will the body stop making thyroxin if Synthroid is given?
Oh, that's a good question. No. What happens is the TSH is actually a reflection of how much your brain is signaling your thyroid to work harder and to push the output of thyroid hormone. And typically, when you take thyroid medication, your TSH declines, which means that it's kind of like your thyroid thermostat is being turned down. But ultimately, if you were to stop thyroid, say you run out or your doctor decides it's not for you, your thyroid will usually return to normal function within a few days. And it's not something that you become dependent on, as with, say, steroids. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes, that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we're taking your calls, 877-726-TALK, and we got a call from Roger in New York. How are you doing, Roger?
Thanks for taking my call, doctor. I've been asked to take a colonoscopy, and I'm a dentist, and I know when I was in dental school, they said the only way to properly sterilize instruments is an autoclave, mm-hmm. but they can't autoclave the instruments.
You can't autoclave a fiber optic scope because you'll damage it and melt it. So they've got to use other techniques.
And I read on the web about instances where people, you know, 15% of these scopes are contaminated, so it's very frightening.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that high, but there are incidences from time to time of transmission of disease like hepatitis due to improperly sterilized scopes. I think the risk is very low. It's, you know, probably not a magnitude of double digit, but probably to, you know, per some tenths of a percent. The tools used to screen for colon cancer are either sigmoidoscopes and colonoscopes, and they aren't disposable, so they need to be sterilized, not with heat, as with other instruments. You use an autoclave when you want to sterilize, like surgical instruments that are reusable. There's a couple of ways to sterilize endoscopes. And I used to be in an office where they had colonoscopy, and they used something called glutaraldehyde, which is thought to be only incompletely effective and may not do the job. And it's thought that if you add other stronger disinfectants, one of them is called peracetic acid, that you can actually achieve nearly 100% disinfection. Now, it also depends on where you're having the procedure. And I think if you're having the procedure at a major university hospital center, they're adhering to safety standards that are really quite high. If you're having it done as an outpatient in a gastroenterologist's office, well, results may vary, as they say in the commercials. And so, now what's your situation? You're getting a routine colonoscopy?
Well, I'm anemic, and they don't know the reason why.
So it's a workup to find out if you're having gastrointestinal bleeding. So it's pretty imperative that you get a colonoscopy. And, you know, there are workarounds. One is to do the Cologuard test, which is a test that's not as pinpoint accurate as a colonoscopy for spotting sites of bleeding. But it's a pretty accurate test for determining if you have colon cancer, and it relies on a stool sample. You don't have to go up there with an instrument.
Let me interrupt you. I just mailed in my Cologuard.
Oh, good.
Now I'm doing the Hemocult.
Good. Okay. So you're on the right track. However, we can't 100% identify the problem with the Cologuard. It's very likely if you have a negative Cologuard that we're not talking about cancer, but there still might be a site of bleeding up there that a colonoscopy could identify. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not sure that there is a workaround other than for you to, you know, put your trust in the institution where it's done and have the test, because it's important that it be identified, you know, where you're having the bleeding. Sometimes even a colonoscopy doesn't tell you where the bleeding is. You have to have what's called a camera test, where you swallow this miniaturized camera, and that looks at a place that's a little bit betwixt and between the upper GI and the lower GI studies. The, you know, upper GI endoscopy is, you know, you go down through the mouth, and the lower GI is, you know, via the rectum. And there's some territory in between there in the small intestine that isn't really reached. And sometimes that's the site of the bleeding, rarely, but sometimes. And that has to be identified via camera technique. You swallow a miniaturized camera that actually takes pictures in there, and that can identify where the bleeding is located.
Would that be an appropriate next step before a colonoscopy?
That might be. I mean, that's something you can prompt your doctor with. You know, you can say, is it possible for me to avoid this with a camera study? And, of course, that camera is not reusable. It's your unique camera. It's disposable. It's a one-time use. And that might be a workaround if that's a concern for you. So at least with, you know, sensible that you had the Cologuard, because at least you can pretty reliably eliminate the concern that you have advanced or active colon cancer if that test is negative. But there are many other causes of bleeding that might need to be identified, and still the best way to do that is with a look-see, with a scope. Okay? Thanks very much for your call. All right, and what this gentleman is talking about is the situation where if you have anemia and there's no other say you have iron deficiency anemia. By the way, there are other types of anemia where you have low B12, and then they're not worried about bleeding. But let's say they say you're anemic and you have low iron, and you're not a vegetarian, and there's no other reason, then you have to go for a GI workup. It's imperative, because that could be a harbinger of cancer or an ulcer or perhaps ulcerative colitis. There are various causes, and the causes are, it's important to identify them so that they can be addressed. And it's not just a matter of, oh, you know, you're low iron, just take iron pills. You have to identify you know, what's the cause of that problem? Because people on a normal diet, which includes some animal protein, generally aren't going to be iron deficient. Women, of course, with heavy menstruation until the time of menopause, they can be iron deficient. But a postmenopausal woman who's iron deficient, or a man who's iron deficient, that needs to be checked out. All right. This item has to do with olive oil. By the way, we did a very interesting podcast with Jolie Root that we'll put up next week on the subject of the Mediterranean diet. And she sent me a bunch of studies. This is just one of them on the benefits of olive oil consumption. But it's got to be extra virgin olive oil that is rich in antioxidant compounds, including oleocanthal, oleoropein, 5-hydroxytyrosol. These are found in extra virgin olive oil, but not in highly refined olive oil. It's a study on olive oil's relationship to stroke incidence. They found that those, compared to those who never use olive oil, those who intensively used olive oil had a 41% lower risk of stroke. And they had divided people into three groups, either low, medium, or high consumption of olive oil, compared to those in the lowest consumption group. Participants in the highest consumption group had a 73% reduction of stroke risk. So they conclude these results suggest a protective role for high olive oil consumption on the risk of stroke in older subjects. Just one of many benefits of extra virgin olive oil. And now I want to tell you how to get a hold of some really high quality extra virgin olive oil. Olive oil is a perishable food. Supermarket olive oils can sit on the shelf for many months or even years while their flavors grow dull, flat, even stale. And when the flavors go, so too does the nutritional value. My favorite olive oil is crafted by artisans, and I have a subscription. It's sent to me direct from the latest harvest as part of the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. You've heard on this program T.J. Robinson, also known as the Olive Oil Hunter, and he has a special offer now for my audience. You can try a bottle of his finest harvest fresh olive oil, which is normally $39 a bottle, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. He just wants to introduce you to the high-quality, delicious-tasting olive oil that could be yours as part of the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for $1. No obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. And that is a truism, because these olive oils are definitely my favorites. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com, MyFavoriteOliveOil.com for the special offer, a sample for just $1 of a $39 bottle of olive oil. And in addition, I've been running a series. It's been posting on Facebook, and you can go to drhoffman.com. They have olive oil recipes, which we're posting at drhoffman.com. Just go to drhoffman.com and under the Eat button on our homepage, there are recipes for the salad and salmon diet, and there's also fresh pressed olive oil recipes. It's linked off the homepage under the Eat tab. Some great recipes on how you can augment your diet with olive oil, which tastes great and is super healthy for brain, for heart, for cancer prevention, and so on. All right. Let's take a break. And when we return, we get a call from David in Wisconsin. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Our number 877-726-TALK. And we've got David from Wisconsin on our line. How you doing, David?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I was wondering, my wife has got Alzheimer's. There's no cure and all, but is there something that could maybe slow its progression down for the brain, some vitamin or something you could recommend mm-hmm. that could take?
Well, absolutely. And it's a comprehensive program, and it's been demonstrated through a researcher named Dr. Dale Bredesen that you can take patients with mild to moderate Alzheimer's and you can actually bring them back from the brink, at least to some extent, with nutritional and lifestyle measures. Now, it has to be a comprehensive program. That's actually why the Alzheimer's Association is now sponsoring a $20 million research project looking at lifestyle factors on the incidence of Alzheimer's. But in terms of supplements, it gets a little complicated. And among the, first of all, lifestyle. Let's look at lifestyle. Moderate exercise. An anti-inflammatory diet, a diet that is not rich in sugar, that's not rich in poor quality oils, that has many fresh fruits and vegetables, that contains spices like turmeric and essential fatty acids from fish and nuts. The omega-3 oils appear to be really beneficial. In terms of supplements, I can think of several. You know, we mentioned olive oil earlier. And olive oil can have a beneficial effect on the brain. You know, perhaps not taking somebody from the brink of senility back to full cognition, but at least slowing the progression of the problems that occur in the brain. DHA-rich fish oil. The DHA and EPA are present in fish oil, but it's the DHA that I think is the business end of fish oil when it comes to Alzheimer's. That can be useful. Niacel, which is
DHA, is that in a pill or what?
Yeah, it's in a pill. And you take DHA as a DHA-rich fish oil. Coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol are helpful. I know you're trying to write this all down, but we do a podcast of this show, and you can review it on Monday when we post the podcast, and you can start the tape and slow the tape on your computer if you listen via the computer. Bacopa is something that seems to have some promise in terms of creating mental acuity, as does huperzine and vinpocetine. That sounds kind of complicated, but you can get ginkgo, huperzine, and vinpocetine in one of my favorite memory products. It's called Membrin, M-E-M-B-R-I-N. You can find Membrin at Fullscript. That's our online dispensary. If you click on drhoffman.com and drop-down menu of the store, it'll take you to Fullscript, and you can register there and shop for cognitive-enhancing nutrients. Among them, curcumin. My favorite form of curcumin for the brain is called cogumin, C-O-G-U-M-I-N, because curcumin, while valuable for protecting the brain, it's a little hard to absorb. It's hard to get it past what's called the blood-brain barrier. But in the delivery system that the folks who make cogumin have developed, it seems to actually have the ability to traverse into the brain where it needs to do its job. Pycnogenol could be part of that picture. Lion's mane is a mushroom extract, Agaricus blasii, which is particularly helpful for chemo brain. That's a form of cognitive problem that occurs when people get high-dose chemo. And, of course, antioxidants like alpha-lipoic acid may play a role, high-dose mixed tocopherol vitamin E. EGCG has been shown to be beneficial for reducing neuroinflammation in conditions like Alzheimer's. I know it sounds complicated, but we weave a kind of tapestry of supplements for patients who have cognitive problems. And there's even sometimes a hormonal component. DHEA, put an E between the DH and the A, is an adrenal hormone that seems to have a good effect on cognition. And there's also, we measure levels of pregnenolone, which sometimes has cognitive enhancing effects. So, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, quite simply, you know, you want to boil it down, take olive oil and fish oil and maybe ginkgo and follow a clean diet. That'll do you some good. But for a problem as challenging as Alzheimer's, especially if we have family support from you who can help organize this and encourage the person to take the right supplements, it might be warranted to see a nutritionally oriented practitioner in your area. Okay?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, give it a shot. And but listen again, review for some of her, it goes in one ear and out the other. You can re-listen to this podcast if something, if this broadcast becomes a podcast on Mondays. And if some part of it interests you, you can go back and drill down and copy down the information. All right, this item, and I promised to talk about this. There are many risk factors for dying. All right, well, smoking, obviously, drug use, overweight, poor diet, and on it goes. But did you realize that loneliness is a very, very serious risk factor for dying? And the article here is entitled, Why Loneliness is More Dangerous Than Obesity. Loneliness, they say, is just as much of a public health hazard as obesity. This according to the latest research presented at the American Psychological Association annual conference, which took place last week. That's why in August you can't get a hold of your shrink, because they're all at the convention having a great time while you're languishing and miserable, suffering from depression and loneliness. They looked at research from 148 studies involving 300,000 participants. It showed that people who had greater social connections had a 50% reduced risk of dying early. 50%! Another set of research looked at 70 studies representing 3.4 million people in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. They found that social isolation, loneliness, or living alone, each played a significant role in premature death. So what are the statistics? This is incredible. 42 million Americans over the age of 45 suffer from chronic loneliness, according to the AARP. More than one quarter of the population lives alone. This is different. There's been a demographic change. It used to be that grandpa and grandma moved in with you or stayed in the household, and then they could be part of the extended family, taking care of the grandkids and serving a useful function, cooking and, you know, doing stuff. Now, they're shipped off to retirement communities, or worse yet, old age homes, and they're isolated. They may lose a spouse, and things get even worse. And this is a distinct risk factor. So what do you do about it? Well, if you find yourself in that situation, take corrective action. Work with a health professional, but also volunteer. Get out there, because altruism is a great antidote to loneliness, and has been shown to extend life. All right, thanks for joining us. Remember, this program, our weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, is just the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine phenomenon, because we've got podcasts. You can subscribe to our newsletter. Check us out at drhoffman.com. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.